This Mass is being offered for the intentions of our newly ordained men for the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. Elijah appealed to the people and said, "How long will you straddle the issue? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
An important message from the scriptures that we have today is reminding you and I that we cannot serve two masters, as our Lord speaks about it more clearly within the Gospels, God or mammon, God who is the only God, or anyone else who is nothing but false, as St. Paul will put later, that all the gods or the heathens are demons. And so here we have the great contest of the Old Testament, where so much is being revealed here of what it means to really follow God, even in the little integral things within our lives. We have here this great contest that is set up here, and maybe you would say, well, look here, because we find that Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal in this way and challenging to this contest, then maybe you and I should also challenge those who serve false gods to the same sort of thing. But such would be to presume upon it, where Elijah was indeed the prophet of God, the one who was chosen here and inspired by the Lord to do this exact same thing. You and I are not called to do a contest in the same way, for such would be to presume upon God and force him to act as is spoken about clearly in other parts of the sacred scriptures. Now, when we look at these particular passages within the gospel, we see within here much for you and I to emulate within our own lives. Particularly, what do we find here? That he turns and tells them to beseech their idols, and that he will beseech God in this way. That they would turn to those who were not gods and offering them sacrifice in these ways, and to see what indeed would occur. You find that they themselves are performing various acts where they will go around and around and around for hours and hours on end, beseeching and exhausting themselves, of cutting themselves, as it speaks about here, and doing all manner of petition in this way in order to gain their favor with God. What they're really doing here is what we call deumancy. Do you know what deumancy is? Do you know what necromancy is? Necromancy is where one seeks to gain influence over those who have already passed and raise them, in order that one might have them at their doing their bidding in that way. So one becomes a lich, or a master of the dead in this way. And so to be able to raise them up in the same way, what they are seeking to do here is to raise up God, to summon these gods, and by placating them through certain rituals, to be able to gain power over them and get the gods to do their bidding, get the god of Baal to do their bidding, deumancy in this way. Now, we would say this is all silly, because their gods are not but demons. And so the demon, even if he would give some sort of power over to them to be able to accomplish something, would really not make them be the not actually serve them in some way by placating them, but rather they would make themselves to be more and more the servants of these demons. We laugh at these things, but do we not do the same thing so often here within our communities, here within New Mexico, even here within this valley, which is here? You find it so often. Maybe we've shared about it before. I don't know. Maybe I've already preached on this before here. I kind of feel like maybe I have. I've mentioned it many times. But what we often do is you'll find that within our communities, that when somebody is beseeching something of a saint in some sort of way, and if they don't get what it is that they want, or even preemptively, some of our abuelitas will take the statue of the saint and do what? That's right. Turn him to face the corner if they don't get what it is that they want. Or what they'll do is they'll turn the saint and plant him upside down upon something. Or they'll take the saint and they'll bury them in some ways. This is the same thing. This is a deumancy. This is doing something to this god in such a way, doing something to this saint in such a way, doing something to the image of the Sacred Heart in some sort of way, and their hope to gain influence over it by punishing or by doing something toward this god to be able to get power over it. Now, this is all evil, gravely evil. This is not a small evil. In fact, that is a grave sin. It's a grave act, for it is nothing other than idolatry itself. Now, we don't worship the saints. We don't worship them in any way. We don't worship statues in this way. We know that the statues hold no power, but rather, as the order of blessing of these statues has always said since the earliest ages of the church, as the church has blessed them, saying that, "God, who do not forbid us to carve or to paint images or likenesses of your saints, so too by us having devotion to these particular ones, may we obtain merit through their intercession for our petitions," which is here. And so basically, they become but an image for us to focus our prayers through, reminding us that we have intercessors who are there in heaven. We have mediators. If they are images of God himself, that we can go through these and so further realize that we are praying to somebody who is actual and real. And so focus our prayers all the more strongly in this way, and realize that we gain for us these intercessors, realize that we gain for us this mediator in Christ himself, or through an image depicting an image of God himself, to be able to achieve that which we ask for. Now, we need to put these practices totally behind us. That's what it's saying here. It's saying, no longer straddle the fence. No longer straddle the fence. If God is God, then serve him. If Baal, or all these other idols are the gods, then serve them alone. Don't go halfway one way or halfway the other. So we have to cast off all those things which smack of syncretism, which smack of deomancy, which smack of anything which is pagan from our lives. When you see somebody within your own families who say, well, I hope that this happens, they're good, well, you better knock on wood, right? You say, no, that is a pagan practice. We put that away from ourselves. We as Catholics do not even hold to that. Why would they knock upon wood in such a way to say that the spirits which inhabit the woods, the spirit which inhabit the tree that this was later made into, if I knock upon it, well, then that spirit, because I recognize that it is there, will make sure that things go well for me. Put all those things aside. We trust only in God himself. It is when you and I have a total and full trust in God himself, who is the provider of all good things, as the author St. James speaks about in chapter 1, verse 16 of his letter. He says, God is the giver of every good and pleasing gift, the author of all which is just. And so to put our full trust in him, and not even the slightest bit in these superstitious practices, deomancy, these syncretistic acts that have their origins in serving the gods of the netherworld, not the gods of the world which is to come. And so to put our full trust in he who brings all things to their final end. And when this was done, what we find here through all the other practices here is that Elijah is saying, I know how you gods get your pagan gods to do things. Through various aspects of the air. You see how he digs that trench all the way around there, right? You see him dig it and fill it many times with water. Why is he doing that? Because back as antiquity speaks about, that digging a trench around a particular altar would reveal any secret patches ways that were there that the pagans used to do to be able to light something on one side or dig underneath in order to cause a flame to burst up in some sort of way and to prove that, no, if there's a tunnel down there, I've already dug around it so it will collapse. Because I pour this water here, it'll cause the earth around there to become unstable and then to collapse in this way, that this is something that is only God. And the many dousings of the water that he uses upon there to say that only God could cause this thing to fall in this way. And when he makes the prayer, how long does he spend in prayer? How much effort does he put into it that is showing his own greatness? How much does he show that he himself is, because he is such a holy, holy man, that God is going to act in this way because he beseeches, because he cuts, because he does such violence to himself? How much effort does he put upon his own work? It takes him but a single prayer. It takes him but a couple of sentences. It takes him but a few moments placing himself before God, showing God isn't even acting because I'm a holy man. God isn't even doing it because I am somebody who is great. God is doing it because he is the someone who is the only great one. And so to God be all the glory which is here. You and I have to put ourselves within our prayers in the very same way. When we put ourselves thinking that because I am so holy, or rather because I pray so many prayers or offer so many novenas or do all these things, that God has to act in this way because I'm doing so much, what that does is it confuses you and I and causes us to think that somehow we are the source of what is good, that we have the effect on that. We're rather the source of our prayers, and the only reason why we offer these great novenas, why we place ourselves in these ways, and why we do the penances which we ourselves do, whether they be private penances or public penances, which we engage in, given, is only for the fact of allowing us to totally detach ourselves from the things of this world and more supplicate ourselves to God, saying, God, I don't need these things. All I need is you. All I need is you. And the more I offer myself in prayer, the more I'm saying, God, okay, if this is your will, let it be done. Or if it's not your will, you're going to give me something which is even greater beyond this. A more deep and more profound trust in him. Rather than placing the emphasis on our ability to do, it's more of a sense of I'm letting myself be placed at the behest of him who is the only one who can and who wills and who indeed does do. Just as it speaks about in that psalm. In psalm response, which we did there, we say, keep me safe, O God, for you are my hope. Keep me safe, O God, for you are my hope. And saying that over and over again, we say, God, you are the only hope. You're the only way where I can have a future that is filled with something which is indeed great and good. One word from one of the greatest saints of the church, one of the greatest saints of the last century. She speaks of this, how we should love the one who is God, Jesus Christ, who fulfills even the least things on our behalf when we put our hope and our trust in him. Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, the holy face of Jesus, says this. She says, my beloved, this is how my life will be consumed. I have no means of proving my love for you other than that of strewing flowers, that is, not allowing one little sacrifice to escape, not one look, not one word, profiting by all the smallest things and doing them through love. I desire to suffer for love, even to rejoice through love. And in this way, I shall strew flowers before your throne. I shall not come upon one without unpetaling it for you. While I am strewing my flowers, I shall sing, for could one cry without doing such a joyous action? I shall sing even when I must gather my flowers in the midst of thorns, and my song will be all the more melodious in the proportion to the length and sharpness of the thorns. O Jesus, of what shall I use will my flowers be to you? Ah, I know very well that this fragrant shower, these fragile, worthless petals, these songs of love from the littlest of hearts, they will charm you. Yes, these nothings will please you. They will bring a smile to the church triumphant. She will gather up all my flowers unpetaled through love and have them pass through your own divine hands, O Jesus. And this church in heaven, desirous of playing with her little child, will cast these flowers, which are now infinitely valuable because of your divine touch, upon the church suffering in order to extinguish its flames, upon the church militant in order to gain the victory for it. End quotation of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. St. Thérèse of Lisieux put all her trust not in her actions, which she recognizes so greatly are little nothings, whether they be gathered and scattered in joy or in sorrow. But yet she realizes that because they are indeed nothings, and yet they're united with the greatest gift, with God's place which is in our heart, which is his own divine love, which is his power alive within us, it's only then, when our nothingness is united to the greatness of the everything, which is the love of God, that they do become worthy. And because of that, these nothings, which are indeed offered, are gathered up by all those who are in the Church of Heaven in their intercession, which is there, to shower them down upon those who are suffering in purgatory, upon us who are here suffering within the world, who do indeed retain the possibility of missing out totally upon grace, and that God answers that because our nothingness is united to his everything. And so to him be glory now and always and forever. Let us ask our Lord, through the intercession of his saints, through the mercy of his most sacred heart, to allow us during this time to so to operate within this world, so that we live out what St. Elijah speaks about in the Old Testament, saying, how long will we straddle the issue? If the Lord is God, we will follow him. If Baal, follow him. And we know that Baal is of nothing. And yet our God, he is the one who does everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.